Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, we're on. Go ahead, guys. Take it away. We only got an hour tonight. So take it away.
Only, there you go. An hour tonight for the show. Yes, yes, yes. Take it away. Man, I'll tell you what. It has been a whirlwind of a week for not just the automotive industry, but for the world, you know. And I get into politics, but it's just, I can't believe what's happening, you know, in Ukraine with Russia. And the impact that's going to have on, the impact it's going to have on us as Americans and on us as union workers. You know what I mean? I ain't going to say wait for it. It's coming. It just doesn't get settled down very quickly. Russia delivers some very important stuff for the chip making.
We're getting feedback, so, and you sound like crap, Scott. We're getting some feedback. Yeah. So I don't know
feedback.
If it's
true. I need to call back in. Is that better?
No, that's all right.
Okay. I had to tell you what it is that they make. Supposedly, Russia makes 90% of whatever this is that goes into the chips. Like, wow. Ukraine is one of the largest producers of lithium.
Number two in the world.
Number two. Hmm. So, I mean, and then the gas prices. Okay, everybody knows that the cash cows right now for the corporations are the trucks. And I just saw, we were sitting out eating dinner. Somebody posted a picture of somewhere along 75, and they still have some snow. So it's got to be, I'm going to say from southern Ohio north, 384 for gas,
wow.
For regular gas. That's if you were paying with credit. If you're paying with cash, it was 374.
Oh, they're doing that, huh?
Yeah, well, John, we're at 3.9 in Flint right now.
How much?
It was 360.
359.
And no vouchers.
Wow.
That down at the outdoor ram, and down there it was 369 everywhere.
That was Thursday.
What cracks me up about that, though, is even though all this shit's going on with the great baby King Putin, excuse my French, but we're still buying oil from him, Joe. I don't get that shit.
No. Isn't that something?
That pipeline, think about it. That was more oil there than what we buy in from Russia. So really, if we turn that pipeline on, we don't need Russia at all, do we?
No, we were energy compliant.
Independent.
We could sell. We were selling oil, crude oil, overseas. We have so much of it, and that's why our gas prices stayed low. And it was $50 a barrel. Now it's over $100 a barrel.
Yep.
And
now the Democrats want to keep that for an antique, right?
I don't know what the hell they
want. Well, that's the way I look at it. You didn't want to use it. You wanted to use the rest of the world, you told me, for 50 years. Now you're going to go electric, and we ain't going to need it anyway, right? Okay, that's a great plan.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sorry. Let's get back to the automobiles. I see Chrysler's recalling everything. Did you see that? Their Jeeps, their Grand Cherokees, their Grand Wagoneers, and all that are being called back for. And even the Liberty's having a taillight issue.
And Ford's recalling a bunch of trucks back, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, you know, we're building a class product here, people. A world-class product with the cheapest pieces of shit you want to give me to build it. What do you expect? They're going to save an for the waste of dollar on a recall.
Yep. But, I mean, no matter how the politics goes out, If my only point is, if gas and diesel continue to go like they are, my saying is $5 a gallon by May. That's gonna slow our truck industry down drastically. Most of us on the show, we've been through this once, if not twice, already. So, you know what I mean?
Oil goes up, truck sales go down. Proven fact in auto history.
Yeah, exactly. You're right.
Now, I've heard this argument with my mother-in-law on many occasions. Would you just say that the people that own the oil in the United States are Republican or Democrat?
I didn't say that. I said the
Indians
are shut.
No, I didn't say somebody said it. I said, what was it?
I don't think anybody. I didn't know. I didn't hear that.
Oh, he said something about the Democrats wanting to keep the high gas prices as an antique.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did hear that.
I think that's what was said. You know, I mean, when we start talking about politics, it's a whole different level. It's not just Republican, Democrat. You know what I mean?
Okay, but this. Yes, but this is impeccable timing for everything that's going on. If anybody thinks that this was just by chance, I think all of this was pretty much organized right on time for whoever's agenda that we're dealing with.
Yep. I would concur with that. That's my opinion.
Well, the administration earlier in the week, the administration halted gas leases, and I don't understand that. We have an energy crisis, I don't think it's Biden. I don't know who's doing it, but I don't think it's President Biden doing it.
No.
But
no. What was it George Carlin said? The rulers of this world, the owners, the true owners, they're the ones that pull the strings.
That was my point, that, in my opinion, old money. So we're talking Republican ownership, not party. I'm telling you, my theory is that people that own the oil, control the oil, are Republican. And how fast that oil flows depends on what their political agenda is.
They're just part of the. In my opinion, they're
Ron.
Just part of the puppets. They're part
Paul's
of the puppets.
On. All right, Paul is on. Okay.
Greetings,
okay.
Rabble Rousers.
Greetings, Paul.
How you doing? Sounds like you're a fired up bunch tonight. Radical environmentalists want gas prices to get high enough that we'll stop driving. They believe the key to having a clean and pure world is we get rid of auto emissions and cow farts. So they're pushing vegetarianism on us, and they want the gas prices to be at such a level that people can't afford to drive.
So they were in control before in the past when gas prices went up like this too, huh?
Yeah. I mean,
it's just historical. This happened.
Sure.
This happened. This is a swing thing.
Right.
Okay. Well, if the price of oil goes up domestically, then we start doing more drastic things like fracture wells.
Right.
So the whole environmentalist thing goes out the window because not only are we doing something stupid, but now it's dangerous to us.
We don't have to do none of that shit. Just turn on the wells you got turned off. I'm very much affiliated with a lot of people in northern Michigan, and we got the valve shut off. That's natural gas, but I have their friends and their sons that are out in the north, out in Colorado, South Dakota, and through that area. And those oil wells are drilled, capped, and they are also turned off. Those ones out there have been turned off for 3 years. So there again, yes, our wells are turned off. We're just saving it for, I guess, a conversation piece. I don't know why.
it doesn't make any sense environmentally for us to be importing oil from countries that don't have the stiff environmental regulations we have.
You're absolutely right, Paul.
Our government policies don't make much sense.
It takes more energy getting it to us.
Right.
But no matter what our government policies are, the ultra-rich will find a way to make money, whether they make it off oil or they make it off electricity.
Or if they make it off your food or your water, all the water rights that they own.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter what party you belong to.
No.
It doesn't matter what color you are, what sex you are. It doesn't matter what party you are. It's all about money, 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 baby.
Right.
Money, money, money. Look into the Rothschilds.
Up until recently, the leadership of the Democratic and Republican parties were good friends. Trump was friends with the Clintons. The Clintons were friends with the Bushes. They found a way to turn a profit.
Who says that they're not playing still? If you don't run in that circle, you don't know. So who's saying that they're not still friends?
Right.
Well, at least they're not. Let's put it that way.
You're right. Birds of a color flock together, don't they?
And they always seem to venture back to each other.
Yeah.
And they never seem to get in trouble when they get caught doing something wrong. Just like
Correct.
Our union leadership. Just like our
Correct.
Union leadership. They get off light.
Yeah.
Speaking of our union leadership, did everybody pay attention to the new region that was created this last week?
Region 6, right?
Correct.
Did they name it Region 6?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, okay.
But they killed Region 5 because of the scandalous things that were going on.
That's correct.
And they create Region 6.
Right.
We have enough regions
they
to cover the United
up
States.
Think about Region 8, 1C. They got rid of us because of all the corruption, and they pulled D over. That was, now what kind of alphabet do we have now? ABD? Is that a New York alphabet? ABD?
Yeah.
That sounds like
a
credit union to me, ABD.
Yeah, they got plenty of money, don't they?
Yeah.
It's a security
anybody...
that don't work.
Has anybody that's working in plants talked to young people about the election coming up? About the delegates?
In a way.
At the local 600, they keep canceling our union meetings, so we can't even have a chance to get together.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know if Carrie's out there or not, but she should chime in.
She's not here yet.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
You know, it's still really just it upsets me highly that they killed Region 1C, which was home of the UAW. I don't know why you'd kill that part of your history.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I was at that convention as a delegate. You know, it's sad to see it. That, you know, when you look at the political situation we have right now in Europe and the political situation in the UAW, it's pretty much the same thing. That when you look at the West's approach to Putin. They just figured if they pacified him, he'd be okay. That's the same thing they did in the 30s and 40s with Adolf Hitler. And it's the approach our union has used with corporate leadership. If you just pacify them, everything will be okay. And it's It's a failing philosophy.
Yes. And history does repeat itself, and we haven't learned from it.
Well, I like the way, I don't know who stated it, but history doesn't, I like the way they put it, that history doesn't repeat itself, but fools repeat history. And we
yeah.
have a lot of fools in government and in our labor unions. You know, it's the, I never was a fan of Ronald Reagan, but he said you get peace through strength, and I believe that's the truth. The leader of Ukraine basically shamed European and United States leadership because he showed he wasn't going to go down. They were not going to go down without a fight. The 60 or 80-year-old men were going to go out there and fight, and it shamed the West into doing something to support them.
Yep.
And we need to shame our union leaders into acting like union leaders again.
I'm glad you brought that up, Paul, because there's going to be a moment here. I cannot think of the young lady's name who took Trumpka's place. She is the president of the AFL-CIO now.
Okay.
We'll have her, and we'll have who's heading up the Teamsters Union now, and a few other people. We'll see what they say here, I imagine, within a week, because there is a convoy of semis almost 30 miles long right now heading towards Washington, D.C. We'll see if they're going to stand with their truckers or if they're going to badmouth them.
Yeah.
And if they're corporate sweethearts, they're going to badmouth the truckers. You watch.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you probably will get a little. I'd be surprised if they don't get some badmouthing because good share of those are independent truck drivers. They own their own rigs, and Teamsters don't generally like them.
Independents.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So non-union.
Yeah.
This week
we're going to lose some union brothers, though. Teamsters and some UAW people, some Penske drivers. I believe March 1st, we start with new drivers in the Flint area, and that's going to put 260 of them out on the street.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Well, that's an example of the failure of the union pacifying management. As I can remember in the 1990s when management announced they were going to take all the off-road truck drivers and package them into their own unit where they used to always be attached to a plant.
Right.
And, of course, I was not a union leader. I was just a blue-collar schmuck working on the line in Pontiac, but I understood there where that was going. They packaged it in a neat little unit, and then they sold it. Then they beat their wages down. And that's what they've been doing for 40 years, and our union continues to cater to it and allow it to have a lot of fights.
They did the same thing with the GM Fury, remember?
Yep.
When we had our own GM cops, what'd they do with them? Same thing.
Yep.
Just
and
to break
now
in,
they're
just a second,
screwing
guys.
Them all together.
I've got an email. I've got an email today, and Joe Pesky's dad was a Ford truck driver at General Motors. And somebody just sent me that email earlier, and so I just thought I'd bring that up. There you go.
Yeah. Wow. Ford truck driver.
It took your breath your breath away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Mary Barra's dad used to be still trades with General Motors too. And look at what's going on now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the most devious CEO we've ever had.
I don't know if it's her, if it's the board of directors. I've always thought the CEO was just the main puppet and the mouthpiece for the board of directors. That's always been my thought. But she does know how the system works. She's been doing it.
Yeah.
Been working at General Motors since she was, 18, 19 years old?
Yeah.
In college.
She knows how the union works. That's the most important thing. You know, our CEOs, our executives, they understand the union. They understand the political structure of our union. They like to get to know the leaders to find out what their hot button issues are and how they can manipulate and use them. And they're very proactive, and our union leadership is not.
Right.
Mary Barra or the board, their goal is to eliminate the union through cooperation. The UAW was too big to fight when we were large, but it wasn't too expensive to buy through jointness.
True.
For a few $100 million, they bought the cooperation they needed.
Fair to say. I posted from somebody else's Facebook page the 3-page document. Excuse me, 3-page document, which is the Memorandum of Understanding, which I did put a copy of it out at Spring Hill with the new people and making, I think, $20 an hour was $20 is the change is your top out pay.
Yeah.
And that's got 2 union official signatures on it with a date.
Right.
And that was after our contract was done. So they negotiated that locally at Spring Hill, abrogating your national language.
Yeah.
I always thought the paragraph 220 of the national agreement that no local shall supersede the national. So who went along with that deal, right?
They took that language out of our contract. That's another paragraph in the GM contract. I told you they kept the number, but they changed the verbiage. Yes, we used to have that the no local agreement, just like state and federal law, no state law can supersede federal. We had that at one time.
Right. Interesting.
Just like document 28, double standards, man. I pretty much wrote that one every time I went out on a true grievance call. If it was bullshit, no, but if there was a true grievance call, when I discussed it with the foreman, I hit him with that too, because he failure to bargain in good faith. Most of the time, they wouldn't let me talk to the employee. So I'd hit him with that one. Just more paper to throw on their ass. That's how you do it. You got to back them up. You know, I mean, shit, I reached out one foreman. I couldn't find nothing wrong with his job, but I walked around for 3 days with a clipboard. I was drawing pictures. He thought I was writing shit down. Finally, after Wednesday, he had a nervous breakdown. I got everything I wanted. But, yeah, there's many ways you can bargain people. You just got to have somebody that stays visible on the floor. And more importantly, people, and you see this more than any of us, you can't have a committee man that sits and breaks lunch with management, does this with management. They can't be in bed together and represent you. I don't believe they can sit on the board of directors either.
Hey, Jimmy, it's here. Paragraph 220 of the latest agreement. Effective January 28, 2019, paragraph 220, no provisions of any local agreement between local plant management and shop committeemen or committees therein shall supersede or conflict with any provisions of this agreement. So it's still there.
Yeah, they just changed the number, yeah. Because that used to be right up behind document 9, I think it was. But, yeah, that's cool. I'm glad to hear it's in there. But we need to educate people. But like I said, you got to have somebody that's willing to back that book up and know that book. You can't have somebody that's why, well, he's my buddy, so I'm going to vote for him. That shit right there has got us where we're at right now, in my humble opinion.
Right. I got a friend of a friend.
Now.
A lot of stuff going on right now. A lot of stuff going on. Seems to be at one time. We got to pay attention to what's going on the world stage. Got to pay attention to what's going on the state stage. We have to pay attention to what's going on with our own union, too. Same time.
Well, I'm thinking maybe we should get Adrienne on the microphone and let her explain to us about how some of these people and what they need to do to get involved in their these elections and delegates, because a lot of people don't even know what's going to hit them, and they're just going to accidentally send the same jokers that gave them a 31% raise. If we send the same delegates back, we're signing our death sentence.
What do you think, yeah, Adrian?
I agree with Jimmy on that. There are a few delegates that were at the convention that should be sent back, but very few.
Right.
I agree.
What I wanted to say, too, especially 313 was saying that they're not having any union meetings. And so you don't know when the postings are going to go up for you to go sign up for the delegate or the election committee, because you should be doing one or the other. Make sure that you check, and you may have to go to work a little early or stay a little late, check every board, because they're so sneaky, they'll come and put it up and not tell you.
Well, it's supposed to be in the union newspaper. They're supposed to do a mailing.
The paper don't come out every week.
No, it doesn't.
Okay? It's supposed to be stapled or pinned to boards within the facilities. I'm talking to active workers now.
Right.
That's the union right. boards, correct.
Yes. So make sure that you're checking those boards.
Because we heard from somebody last week that said the call went out from Solidarity House.
Yeah.
to announce this, and I'm not hearing it or seeing it on any of the pages either.
My question to ask you, I'm told they're doing this through Zoom meetings. Does anybody know if their locals are doing these Zoom meetings? I don't know.
They may be having Zoom meetings with each other.
It is not to say it's a security issue.
And I'm quite sure they are doing that.
I knew there was a damn reason she's on our team, Don.
I'm trying to keep my mouth shut tonight. I'm a little bit evil, so I'm trying to not say too much. Just too, like you said, it's too much happening. And it's making me very angry.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, I believe that they're having Zoom meetings. And, you know, they were supposed to set it up so that you could have your union meetings via Zoom or some type of Microsoft something that they were supposed to set up. No one knows anything about that.
Right.
So, you know, if as long as I can keep the membership in the dark, you know, it works in my favor. That's what they think. As far as I'm concerned, no, because right now, not a damn soul is going to get a yes vote from me. I choose you when I'm able to vote over at Local 600, because you're not doing what you should be doing for the membership, period.
Right.
If people can go to work, they can certainly have a damn union meeting once a month.
Yes.
Now, as far as the retiree meetings, I know that some of the retirees would be a little skeptical because most of them are a little older and they may have compromising situations. But, hell, I would go with all of my masks on. I mean, we haven't, as far as retirees, we haven't had a meeting since when? This is 22, since 20? Early 20?
Right.
So you say read the paper. Well, the damn paper don't come out, but what, once every 3 months?
Ours comes out monthly.
Yeah. Well, ours don't. Ours don't.
Yeah. Well, they're supposed to mail notification that there's a election coming, the sign-up time, you know, and all that.
Yes, they are. Like you said, supposed to.
Yeah.
So suppose they send the cards out yesterday and the sign-up is tomorrow and I don't get the card until Wednesday.
Right. Right.
I'm not
sneaky
trusting
like
anymore
a,
any of them.
Yeah.
Sneaky like a fox, huh?
Right. Because I'm not even sure about this monitor.
Yeah.
When you have a group of people that seem like they're so close to the monitor that they're finding out stuff that we don't know.
Right.
It's real strange. But, you know, Adrian's going back on mute.
Yep. Now, we just got to get up. Like I said, keep talking to one another. That's the best thing we can do right now. Keep talking to each other.
Yeah.
You know, listen to what's going on the floor. People aren't happy. I've been watching some of these fake Facebook pages. People aren't happy.
Well, they have no reason to be happy. Because,
right.
We have contracts that provide no inflation protection. Management locked the workers into long-term contracts that don't protect them from high inflation. They'll still have to drive to work if gas is $10 a gallon, but management will be able to increase their prices to keep up with their, you know, cost increases, and the workers stuck. You know, well, that's one thing I think we need to get rid of is long-term contracts. They only benefit management because especially in the 1990s and 2000 to 2010, they got us locked into long-term contracts, and then they would violate these contracts, and the union would do nothing, basically. They were tied up. I mean, our grievance procedure is full of red tape now. It's not simple like it used to be. And
right.
The contracts just give management union or an opportunity to screw over people with impunity, knowing that, you know, nothing's going to get done till the next contract.
Right.
I mean, one of the things that really violated was our cell counts. We lost a lot of jobs because our union wouldn't hold management's feet to the fire.
Yep.
They sized and eliminated thousands of jobs without the union enforcing our contract.
Yep.
90% of these recalls are parts we used to make internally. Back then when we made them internally, we kept a lot better eye on our benchmarks. We didn't have half the problems we have that come from the other side of the globe. And besides that, when we do get them from the other side of the globe and we find they're messed up, now we stop it. Now we got a chain all the way back across the globe and the continent and all this shit back over there of bad parts. Where do they end up? They usually just mix a couple here, mix a couple there, and send them right back to you. Scott knows exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just like they did with our bad hoods. All our messed up hoods went to China for many years on a cardboard box. That's why they call them China box hoods. They weren't even good enough for our, you know, our parts. Our SPO parts are not really great parts. I don't know if many people are aware of that, but at least not in the stamping industry. That's where all that thin metal goes, is the service.
Yep. Yep. Something.
Yep. But there again, like I said, we don't stick up, we don't keep an eye on it, we don't know. They always brag they were saving money. Oh, we're getting that part cheaper. Well, now that we've given away 1.2 million of our workforce, well, that really cheap part paid off, didn't it? Thank you, Mr. UAW negotiator.
Yep. Jeez. It's like you can't win for losing, huh?
Correct. Sometimes you feel that way.
Man.
But I don't know. A lot of people have asked me, well, how do you learn what you got to do to be a delicate? There was training classes for that, but Yoki's killed all that shit years ago, so I don't know what to say towards that.
There's nothing to being a delegate. You just, when you're there and you see something that's going wrong, you stand up and try to get called on so you can speak. There's nothing secret about it. I'm Jim, you know, I'm pretty much the world's worst politician, and I got elected twice.
And the duties and responsibilities are in the Constitution.
Right.
So I really don't
that's
understand.
What I don't,
yeah, and well,
that's what
Google.
I don't get. But I'm being told, now maybe somebody can correct me or tell me, but I was told by a young temp worker who pays union dues, she goes, but I'm not entitled to that copy of that Constitution because I'm not a member. You're making these people pay dues, and you won't even give them a copy of our book? Shame on you people if that's true.
Well, let me say something about that, okay? because that game was played on me years ago. I think I might have had 60 days, and I was told by a union rep, and I want everybody to hear this out there, because you may need to use this. Union rep told me he couldn't represent me, and I told him if he didn't want his ass and the UAW's ass in court, he better represent me as long as they took my money. So I'm telling you something.
You know, I remember hearing that before I got my 90 days in. You can't represent your bullshit. Yeah, you can.
Yeah. If you taking my money, you better represent me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because, see, it's different now. At that time, we had closed shops. You had to belong to the union.
Right.
But now it's right to work. Not telling anybody not to join the union. Not saying that. But you have an option. And I tell you another thing. They better not fire your ass because you didn't join the union. They have to have just cause.
Right.
So, our UAW representatives sometimes want to still operate like it's a closed shop.
Right.
I'm not going to say any more on that one. Some days, you know, I think I already told you all I'm a little evil today, I guess.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, what happens is that since I'm kind of incapacitated and I'm at home, I can't, you know, really get around, I do a lot of reading. And I read in all of these groups, and I read these comments from these people, and I tell you, it's a shame how you read that some people, we need to get rid of tears. We need to get a pension back. We need COLA. And it's like, wait a minute, you know what? You just had a contract year. When was that, 2019?
Yep.
You needed all of that then.
Yeah.
Now, 40-day strike. Somebody's lying. Yeah, somebody's lying and saying that they didn't vote yes on the contract because all of them got ratified, right?
You're damn
and
right.
And none of that came back in there. And so it's nerve-wracking.
If you listen to all the financial stations, if the people would have stayed out another week and a half to 2 weeks, General Motors would have been at the table.
That is correct.
With something.
That's
well,
right.
The problem is getting the union to the table.
Yeah.
The union bargained that mess.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They did.
They may have bargained it, but you didn't have to ratify it.
What I'm saying is the problem is not getting management to the table, but getting the union to the table to represent you. The union approved that mess, you know.
They can't approve it if you don't ratify it.
They have
to go back to the table.
I'm not arguing that. What I'm saying is the union never should have brought that to the people. I don't see where they did any real serious bargaining for the membership. But they have a collaborative style. Management comes to them and tells them what they want, and the union's position is basically, what can we do for you to help you reach your goals? When you look at the way our contracts are structured, our union has indebted themselves to help management work toward continuous improvement, and that means anything management wants it to mean. Because the union won't stand up and say, no, we're not going to do this.
So
and
you
as
a union member, because the representatives of the UAW, because they're not the union, we are,
right,
you have to go along with what they present to you.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying the union has a responsibility to do better. They shouldn't bring that type of crap to the membership to ratify. The union's approved it. The leadership, the union says this is a great deal. But another thing, don't take it for granted. People voted for it. We do not have ballot security for our contract votes. We don't have the right to have a challenger in there challenging the vote. And it gets back to what Joseph Stalin said. It doesn't matter how they vote. All that matters is who counts the votes and how they're counted.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, nobody.
I believe there's been some widespread cheating at some locals.
You are correct.
Like the ones vote.
Go ahead, one at a time.
All those votes go down to Detroit, and nobody knows what. I don't even know if they're even open. I mean, nobody can witness that we're aware of. I once asked at my local here at 659 if I could challenge and witness the vote count, and I was point blank told nobody gets to see them counted. I go, what?
Right.
He goes, they go to Detroit, and we never see them again.
Right.
Especially some of the locals that only pass it 49% to 51%.
Yeah. I mean, do you people really think that if this vote to determine how we were going to elect our leadership, that if it was conducted by the leadership, that we would have, the membership would have gotten what we have now?
No.
And I have no reason to believe our contract votes are honest, because they don't prove it to us.
Right. Now people need to know when the leadership down in Detroit, when they put a tentative agreement, what they think they have, which they've already got one. They start working on this, the next contract, where the last contract is ratified.
Sure.
They meet together with all the local top chairmen and presidents. They go down to Detroit, and they present this to them. And these guys all usually vote on this, and most of them vote in favor because they're going to do what Solidarity House wants.
Right.
Okay, and then they bring that, and then they agree on that. They roll that out, and that's what they take back to the locals. So, you know, you have to look at your top chairman and your president and what they thought of this, too. You know what I mean? There's a few extra players in this whole system, and we have about 14 minutes left tonight's show. Go ahead. Somebody? Oh, let me add something else onto that. Also, your constitutional delegates, they are on a special bargaining committee, on a special bargaining convention. They're privy to this, too, when we take our ideas and our thoughts of contract changes that we like to have and take it down to Detroit or to our local union leadership and then down to Detroit. Those are supposed to be down there, too. And I'm just telling you, most of those get tossed in a circular file.
Sure, most of them do. But as far as the duties of a delegate, people need to understand, this is your sole duty. You go out on the floor and you talk to people and find out what they want, and you take that to the convention. You know, it's and you go down there and speak like an active member, not like a bought off union rep. To give you an example, in the 2006 Constitutional Convention, I'm a guy who hates talking in public and whatever, talking to more than about two or three people at a time, but the topic, they wanted to take $60 million out of our strike fund to put in the general fund. Okay.
Yeah.
I was one of three people that spoke against it. I gave this rationale. I said my plant, the Flint Metal Center, went on strike for 54 days. We know what a strike fund's for. I'm not going to go back and tell my membership I voted for this. And I told them if our strike fund is supposed to be a weapon against management, and if we do this, we'll be serving notice to management we don't intend to ever go on strike. All I did was speak up the way my membership would feel, and that's the only obligation and responsibility you have down there, is to go down and speak up for the people you represent, not to kiss the rear ends of the people that are sitting up front.
Right.
Well, when I learned what kind of shit they really were was when me and Bob walked out beside Norwood when we went on strike, and they literally blacked me and Bob out of that picture that they have framed in that local.
Right.
Now, come on, people. They literally took that picture and took it somewhere. And if you look at that picture, you'll see where me, the big fat guy, and the other fat guy got blacked out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is there an agenda for the meeting that the delegates are going to? Does anybody know what's going to be talked about ahead of time, or is it all based on what the delegates bring to the table?
Well, when you go down there, you get a book,
itinerary
that tells what the resolutions are that we'd be voting on.
When does that come out? Enough time beforehand for the membership to talk to the delegates?
You mean at the convention itself?
No, before the convention. So
you don't know before the convention, but the first day you get there as a delegate, you get a copy of the proposed resolutions.
Why doesn't that go out beforehand so the delegates can actually ask the question to the membership? What do you think about this? What's your opinion?
Well,
I mean, if they're there to represent us, it's like blindly going in, trusting that the delegate has your back, or that the delegate even. How do you know? How do you know that this guy isn't just some fucking idiot that wants to go down to the convention because it's cool?
Yeah.
I mean, I got a neighbor like that. I don't need him going to the convention representing me.
Yeah. Well, for one thing.
You said you're going to quit talking. Wait a minute, Paul. He said he was going to quit talking about Don like this before the show. Thank you.
No, I said Don took his blue pill. That's why we're only doing a show for an hour. That's all I said about Don.
No comment.
Really need to put your platform out to people and let them know what you stand for. Because when you put a flyer out in a plant, you're already putting a target on your back. All of us know that. And you need to let them know how you're different from the people that are currently in power.
Okay, my point is that this itinerary was not printed the day before the convention. So
yes,
somebody already has calculated what the points of interest are going to be, what the keynotes are. I mean, I'm sure there's keynote speakers there. So why can't the delegates have this information way before, just like everybody knows about it except for the delegates and the membership? So why can't we know about it way ahead of time? I don't understand that.
The delegates turn in the resolutions from their facilities. And what they are supposed to do is get it down to, if you have 20 same resolution, now it becomes one, you know, and it's supposed to be printed. At this last convention, most of the resolutions that were turned in were not printed in the resolution book for the bargaining.
No. They have a resolution committee that sifts through all the proposed resolutions and eliminate any that would be an embarrassment to the international leadership.
Right.
At each local or just for international?
When they're sent down to the international, this committee sifts through it. And, of course, they're hand-picked people, international staff want in that position.
So it's not a good representation of what we want. It's a representation of what international wants.
Right. And
correct.
You can bring up resolutions from the floor, but you have to give a certain amount of – you have to get a certain amount of people that are willing to vote in favor of bringing this to the floor for debate. An example, one resolution in 2006 was we wanted to bring up some discussion of the Delphi fiasco. You know, we were about to lose, 10,000 or 20,000 members of General Motors at Delphi because they were going through the bankruptcy and were eliminate all their U.S. plants. And there's a few of us that wanted to bring some discussion to the floor. And I can't remember. It was a small amount of delegates, something like 25 you need to get to bring it to the floor. And we couldn't even get that because most of the delegates are spineless, bought off, and looking to advance in their career. Usually the ones that speak up are ones from small plants that don't have much political power and are not looking to advance themselves within the UAW. And a good share of them tend to be angry women.
Speaking of Adrian, how many delegates does 600 have at the convention?
I cannot tell you exactly how many. I do know.
You can tell me. I won't tell them what you told me.
Yeah, I mean, that's out of my mind now. But what I can tell you is this. I know that the engine plant had two delegates out of our facility. I think the truck plant has 4 to 5, maybe.
Right.
Each facility, no one has less than 2, I would tell you, out there on the roofs. The truck plant being the one that has the most.
Yes.
So, that's not including the local.
I believe it goes by plant population, if I'm mistaken. And I mean, we've got over 5,000 employees where we're at.
Let's go by population. In 1998, the Flint Metal Center had 6. And I think the last time I went, there was 3.
Right.
In 2014.
Okay. We have five minutes left. Go ahead.
Which is probably one reason these people kiss the international's rear end so hard. As they go along with the downsizing of their plant, there's less opportunity for them. And so they want to scramble up to the top, to the international or to the region. But I'm hoping one thing we can do on this show is demystify what the job of a delegate is. You don't have to have the experience of a shop chairman or a union president to go down there and speak your mind. I think some of the best delegates would be some woman who's trapped on second shift, commuting 500 miles a week to work, and has to worry about getting her kids off to work or off to school when she's had 3 hours sleep. What you need is people that have actually been affected by the bad decisions the International Union has made. We don't need people who have benefited from those bad decisions, the ones that are taking the appointed jobs that are international, bargained for. You need people that are actually been affected by these bad contracts.
Hear.
They will be your best representatives. All they need is a big mouth and a wide backbone.
I told you I'm not running.
I know that's right. Well, I wouldn't exactly say they need a big mouth, but they do need to be able to speak concisely and clearly.
Right.
And get their point across.
Right. Well, you're putting it more articulately than I put it.
Well, that's what I do.
Right. Well, you're pretty good at it. But I'm just saying...
Thank you.
I'm saying the people that actually have been affected need to go down and do the job.
Right.
Like I remember
absolutely.
The last convention I went to, the bargaining convention, there was a very articulate, outspoken woman from a small plant. She was talking about what some of these alternative work schedules were doing to people. They were falling asleep at the wheel driving home. They were having all kinds of problems. Well, the international leaders, they get to work 9 to 5 if they work that long. They don't have to worry about these problems.
Right.
They don't have to worry about staying awake and alive on the highway.
You're right. Yeah, daycare right at the region and at the international. I bet you people didn't know that either. Yeah, you pay for their babysitters.
Yeah.
Amen.
We have 1 minute left of the show, everybody.
You guys have a great weekend.
The one thing to say here, everybody wish Donna a belated happy birthday, please.
His birthday
was a week ago Friday.
Yeah, happy birthday, Donna. Didn't die this year, all right? Thank you.
You guys heard me.
Hurry up and cut the cake.
Happy 90th, Don.
Thank you.
I mean, when you want that BJ.
You know, is friends like you that makes this job worth it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, if you don't leave me alone, you're gonna have to send me home. 'Cause I'm about to whip somebody's ass.
All right. We'll be back. Well, it'll be March. It'll be March.
Yes.
Oh. Anyway, I put my thong on today. It was so nice.
Tuesday. March 1st.
Absolutely. Tuesday. No baseball. Tuesday.
And the words of Sheriff Justice, I'm going to punch your mama right in the mouth when I get home.
Good night, all you rabble rousers.
Good night. Please be safe.
Good night.
Good night.